Labas and good afternoon. This is Kęstutis Reividas, and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio right here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. And, of course, live streaming audio over the internet at ktym.com. We are again opening up with Kitava. I was told last week that it was Kitava. I don't know. I've been calling Kitava for years. I'm not about to change. So that little snippet we opened up with was, what a voice, huh? Powerful voice. You should see her. She's about, 5'2" maybe. And, this petite little thing with this incredibly powerful voice, lending a sort of a driving rock rhythm to traditional Lithuanian folk music. And isn't that what rock and roll is now? It's sort of a contemporary folk music. Continuing with our promotion, any of you who reach into their wallet and or pull out their checkbook and write a check to Independent Lithuanian Radio, send it off to 2808 Santa Monica Boulevard, Santa Monica. Those are our offices, 2808 Santa Monica Boulevard, Santa Monica, 90404. Check for $100 or more. We'll send you a copy of this CD, this album, this collection of great Lithuanian folk music rendered with a rock flavor. So we'll call it folk rock, rock folk, call it what you want, but it's great listening. It's got a lot of energy, and it's beautiful. So if you'd like a copy, just donate to us, and we will send a copy to you of the second CD released by Kitava from Lithuania. And speaking of Lithuania, we always bring you up to date on the weather. We've been having some wacky weather here from the coldest winter in, 22 years or something? And then warming up to 80, 90, and now it's cold again. Rained yesterday, snow in the local mountains. In Lithuania, it's a typical winter now, not very cold and not warm. The highs during the day tomorrow, for example, will be 29 degrees. By Tuesday, it'll be 33, 34 degrees. It'll drop back down to the low 20s, right around 30 by Saturday and Sunday, February 16th and 17th. By the way, the original Lithuanian Independence Day. Evenings will be in the mid-20s right throughout. So, again, we'll have a few days in the low to mid-30s, but generally hanging around just below the freezing point in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. A couple of events locally to bring you up to date on, and the first one is happening next week at St. Casimir's. This ought to be very interesting, very interesting. February 17th, at St. Casimir's Parish Hall at 12:30 in the evening. That's 12:30 in the afternoon. That's February 17th, Sunday. Okay, Sunday the 17th, just right afternoon. There's going to be three short films. Okay, three short films presented by Ramunė Raikanauskaitė. Ramunė Raikanauskaitė. She'll be there. She'll be presenting it. They're documentary type films. And, sort of reality-based films, just to be clear here, okay? The first one is called Žalumose, which is, translated Living Amongst the Grasses, okay? Žalumose, okay? Žalumose, Living Among the Grasses. According to the press release, it says a documentary about three women who, having lived through illness and tragedy in their lives themselves, begin to help the sick with natural remedies and herbs found in the fields and forests of Lithuania. Some people presume them to be witches or snake oil salesmen, but to others, they are saviors. This film was a winner of a special prize at the Ektop Film Festival in Czechoslovakia. The film is in Lithuanian with English subtitles. Second film is called The Cheesemaker, and it is a glimpse of the life of a man who seems like he cannot live. He's got passion, and he cannot live without cheese or his wife. He loves his cheese and his wife more than anything. This was selected as the best film in the AXX Film Festival and nominated as Best Short Lithuanian Film. And the last film is called the Kelione, or Trip, and it's a tragic comedy about a couple with questionable values who take a trip abroad to shop for a wedding that they plan. Selected Best 48-Hour Vilnius Film Project and received numerous awards for directing and acting. So, anyway, this ought to be very entertaining. They're short films, three of them, so you won't get bored, regardless of you don't like one or another. And I imagine you're going to have a great time. Sounds like she has a real knack for this sort of filmmaking. Zolomorsa, Living Among the Grasses, The Cheesemaker, or Sudininkas, and Kelione, A Trip. So that'll be February 17th. That's next week, Sunday, in Casimir's Parish Hall at 12:30. The filmmaker's name is Ramuna Raikanoskaita, and I'm sure you will all be entertained. Now, the following weekend, Vasario 24th diena, also known as February 24th, okay, again at noon on a Sunday, there will be the famous Kuldunu Pietus, or the Dumpling Luncheon, the annual Vaikų Vilties Dumpling Luncheon, and that is Lithuanian Children's Hope. This is a great organization. For $40, you're going to get all the meat, cheese, or whatever kind of dumplings they have you can eat. There's a variety of dumplings. They're all handmade, and they're delicious. And you sit there, and you eat, and you drink, and you have a great time. Children under 12 are only $10. Adults, again, are $40. Wine will be served. And all of the monies go to support Lithuanians Children's Hope. They've done all kinds of work, like bring burn victims and children with other diseases to the United States for treatment. But lately, you know, because the world is changing so quickly and technology can be adaptable, they have taken to where their money is much better spent in Lithuania. They have rebuilt hospitals, rebuilt wings to hospitals, brought the latest medical equipment, the latest high-tech equipment for treatment of cancers and other diseases in Lithuania, where their dollar goes a lot further, and they can help the kids, help the children, while the family is nearby. So that's where your money goes. That's why it's worth you showing up to this standing room only event. And don't let this standing room only event stop you or say, it's too many people. They need your support, and they welcome your support. They'll fit you in, okay? Call for a reservation. That's in 2 weeks, the 24th on Sunday, for all the Lithuanian meat dumplings, also known as pierogi, pelmeni, and the kuldunai, all you can eat on Vasario 24th, February 24th, Sunday noon at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. For reservations, call Ingrida, 310-780-0758. That's 310-780-0758. One more time, Ingrida, 310-780-0758. And going out a little bit further, going out to April 14th, want to get this on your calendar early, April 14th at noon, again at St. Casimir's Parish Hall, there's going to be the Birutiechu Women's Group Spring Banquet. Okay, the Spring Banquet. There will be live entertainment with a retro dance group, and you will find out more again about the wonderful volunteer charity work done by the Birutietes. Once again, the Birutietes Springtime Banquet. Come and be a part of, find out about the good work they do, and that'll be Sunday the 14th, Sunday, April 14th at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. For more information, you should call Ona at 323-650-2263. That's Ona Katiliene at 323-650-2263, 323-650-2263. And finally, before we go to break, we want to remind you to visit Eurodelimart Lituanica. Why? Well, because they carry a line of various Lithuanian food products. Yes, not knockoffs made here by people of Lithuanian descent, but real food made really in Lithuania and imported here, where you can pick it up right in Santa Monica. Now, we're open 7 days a week, and we're very conveniently located 28 blocks from the beach. And I say we because I am an owner-investor in this little venture, and happy to say that I am tasting and enjoying all sorts of Lithuanian foods that I might otherwise not have tasted or tried. Again, rye bread, four different varieties, all sorts of soups and other canned goods, actually in jars where you can see the product and know that it's about as real as it's going to get, just like Mochute used to make. Anyway, once again, Eurodelimart Lituanica, 2838 Santa Monica Boulevard, Santa Monica, that's 28 blocks from the beach at the corner of Santa Monica and Yale, in a little strip mall known as the Yale Center. Once again, open 7 days a week, Eurodelimart Lituanica. Look forward to seeing you there, and we'll be right back. Wasn't that pretty? That's also an instrumental, little instrumental 3-minute piece. We, of course, only played you about 30 seconds of it. It's called Tereputa Martela from the Kitava album. We are promoting as a giveaway, a premium for you if you support independent Lithuanian radio. Write us a check, send it off to 2808 Santa Monica Boulevard, Santa Monica 90404. Any check of $100 or more will receive this wonderful collection by Kitava, including the little instrumental you just heard. At the top of our news today is that the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Linas Linkevičius, met with NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen, who was paying an official visit to Lithuania. The minister voiced his support to NATO candidate countries, which aim to be invited to become new member states of NATO. Last year, we marked the 10th anniversary of the invitation to join NATO, so we understand very well that NATO membership can guarantee security and stability. Therefore, we must promote closer cooperation with candidate countries and help them to implement all necessary reforms, Linkevičius said. The Lithuanian foreign minister and NATO secretary general discussed NATO's capacity-building efforts, possibilities for reverse transit from Afghanistan, current issues related to NATO's partnership policy, as well as the Ukraine and Georgia. Rasmussen thanked Lithuania for its participation in the International Security Assistance Force mission in Afghanistan and for initiatives in the field of energy security, and welcomed the opening of the NATO Energy Security Center of Excellence in Lithuania. This was Rasmussen's third visit since 2009. While in Vilnius, Secretary General Rasmussen also said that Russia should share more information with NATO about its military exercises that are conducted in the Baltic region. Quote, "We don't have detailed information about upcoming Russian military exercises," he said to reporters in Vilnius when asked about West 2013 exercise that Russia and Belarus plan this fall. "It's of utmost importance to demonstrate openness and transparency when it comes to military exercises." He did remind the audience, however, that military training is an important part of activities of all armed forces, and that NATO countries also carry out military training. It's the transparency which is being criticized, or lack of it. The head of NATO pointed out that in addition to the importance of openness and transparency, NATO's military training program, Steadfast Jazz, is not directed against specific opponents. NATO's three Baltic members have expressed concern about the increasing number of Russian troops and weapons stationed near their borders. The 28-nation alliance is committed to Lithuania 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, a quote from Rasmussen. The defense organization NATO will practice its own plans for the collective defense of the Baltics and Poland in a military exercise this year, Lithuanian President Dalia Grybauskaitė told reporters. The military alliance renewed its Baltic strategy in the summit in Chicago last year, deciding, among other things, to make an air policing mission in the region permanent now. We do not consider Russia a threat to NATO, and NATO definitely does not constitute a threat to Russia, he added. But we all have plans to protect and defend NATO allies. Rasmussen highlighted that Lithuania, as a member of NATO, has to increase the share of gross domestic product it allocates for the country's defense. Lithuania has admitted that it needs to increase spending on defense. I encourage you to fulfill this important obligation, he said after meeting with President Grybauskaitė. He added that he was aware of the economic issues NATO members are faced with, but the chief of NATO highlighted the goal to make NATO strong. He pointed out the importance of multilateral cooperation as a way to deal with defense issues. If each country would act individually, the financial burden would be too big. Prime Minister Algirdas Butkevičius told Rasmussen that the new government of Lithuania does not intend to make changes in foreign policy direction. I have informed him that this new government of Lithuania will not be altering the political direction in terms of foreign affairs. We support the Euro-Atlantic partnership, said the Prime Minister after the meeting. Our priority for this year is to transfer the security control to the Afghan National Security Forces, he said. Butkevičius and Rasmussen also agreed to continue the mission in Afghanistan until 2014, but focus on training and consulting. Well, now we're going to move on to something a little lighter. You know, if any of you have been to Lithuania, and I know many of you have, you know that one of the national type dishes, a popular dish, is carbonadas, which is basically a pork chop, right? And this is an inexpensive, quick meal you can have just about anywhere in town, and you can pay a lot for a really well-made one, you know, baked in some special sauce, or for, you know, the equivalent of about a dollar and a half, you can get a quick fried one. And usually they all taste pretty good to me. But basically, yeah, pork chop, pigs. The pig farming is a big business in Lithuania, and if you know Lithuanians, you know that they are very practical people. And we've been talking about some serious issues on this program as far as the values embodied in the European Union and its constitution and human rights issues and all that. But, you know, on a lighter note, it appears that pigs have rights too, and Lithuania thinks it's kind of silly. They grunt, they get horribly dirty, they squeal as if being slain when in fact they are not. But from now on, these creatures will be pampered and amused before they meet their grisly end anyway. What am I talking about? A Lithuanian pig. The Lithuanian media has seized upon animal welfare policies of the squealing swine, not the issues that are actually plaguing the pork farmer. With 100 foster homes and orphanages in Lithuania struggling, Lithuanian farmers from 2013 must now enact new European Union pig welfare directives, setting out a range of measures for improving a pig's welfare. What already is a daily chore for Brits or German swine farmers is still an eyebrow raiser and a topic of jokes for many Lithuanians. And sure, local pig raisers who, complying with the EU rules, now have to buy special toys for keeping their pigs in a cheerful mood. Whoever thought that one day I'd become one of my own pig's clowns, says Vytautas Janulevičius, a Lithuanian farmer who is among a dozen pig owners who is bothered by the new EU directives. The EU Pig Welfare Directive clearly lays out what kind of toys should be tossed into the curious four-legged creature's pens. And it even tells how often pig farmers ought to devote some of their precious time for a little chit-chat and games with the squeaky little grunters, seeing the stretched metallic chains that, when nudged, produce a melodic rattle and buzz, rubber balls, or fixed colorful sticks in the pens. Only a very smart individual can tell the purpose of the never-seen-before-in-Lithuania pig stall items. Right, they are for cheering up the sows and the piglets during an otherwise boring or tedious day. The EU directive regulating swine welfare was passed back in 2008, but with the uproar over it sweeping through, it has been enacted in the former Eastern Bloc only from this year. I fathom that the European Union is trying to apply to farming the most novel findings and treat animals more decently, which frankly has been a hardly heard of thing in Lithuania until recently. But bearing in mind those dozens of foster homes, shelters, and orphanages that need a whole lot more attention, all the fuss about a pig's mood before being slaughtered for the EU consumer is a bit weird, to put it mildly, Janulevich said to the Baltic Times. As pork prices rise, following the stringent regulations on a pig's well-being, it is perhaps inevitable, he says, that, quote, some of the tiniest pig balls cost up to 8 litas, when the larger dangling and rattling toys cost a few dozen litas. I estimate I'll have to spend up to 1,000 litas a year for my pigs to play games. This is too much for a small-sized farm. Kasparas Juravičius, a farmer in the Jurbarkas region, agrees on a possible increase of pork prices, a result of the well-being of his pigs. I have 25,000 pigs, one of the biggest around, he says. Bearing in mind the little pig toy cost around 5 litas. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's about $2, okay? I'll have to shell out a hell of a lot of money for these squeakers. And sure, the toys will jerk the pork price up. That is exactly what happened last year when the European Union started enforcing stricter hen welfare regulations, which resulted in higher egg prices, the Jurbarkas farmer noted. To comply with the EU directive, the farmer, among other things, throws into pens larger amounts of peat and sawdust. Having found that the costly stuff can be replaced with cans of plastic bottles, the cost-savvy pig owner grower decided to stick with the natural and importantly less pricey toys. But the animal welfare issue is far from being a new issue in old Europe. An EU commission welfare ruling stipulated that pigs must have permanent access to a sufficient quantity of material to enable proper investigation and manipulation activities such as straw, hay, wood, sawdust, mushroom compost, and peat. It became a law in the UK in January of 2003. In 2005, the Pig Leisure Enrichment Program went into effect in Denmark. A few years later, it became law in Germany. By 2012, many of the old EU member states had pledged to comply with pig welfare directives. But it said the process stalls in quite a lot of countries. Why? Surprisingly, not because of the local pig farmers' resistance, but to the massive pork imports from the EU directive disobeying member states, mostly in Eastern Europe, that glut of pig-friendly states like Lithuania. Now it is the Lithuanian swine's turn for piggy happiness. Nevertheless, local Lithuanian pig farmers said it is too hard to overstep their misconceptions and stereotypes about the critters that, in the folksiest of sayings, are regarded as dumb animals. Well, I am perhaps not in the position to counter-argue EU scientists and pig behavior researchers who have devoted years of study to the moods of pigs. I just really disagree with the applicability of all the EU-recommended stuff across the EU. For instance, I cannot grasp why sawdust and peat is advised for pig cheerfulness. Every pig grower around can tell you that sawdust, saw chips, and peat clog the sewage pipes. Besides, the stuff jacks up considerably the quantity of the slime, which means transportation costs go up too, said Juravičius. And not only that, some materials used in the toys for pigs can be harmful carriers of microtoxins and infectious microbes. I've consulted a veterinary who shared my concerns that through the toys, some serious pig diseases, even pig plaque virus, may be transmitted. For me, it is quite obvious that the pig welfare directive has been drawn up by someone who has nothing to do with pigs. At some pig grower get-together in the West, he acknowledged he tried to speak out against what he calls, quote, a phony and unnecessary directive, but his speech was met with boos. I've just found out that behind it stood fast food restaurants that need higher quality pork, he said. But Algis Baravikas, director of Lithuania's Pig Growers Association, tends to play down the pig raisers' worries. I got this hunch that many farmers like to grumble out of tradition. I feel like telling them, come on, guys, is that your first day in the EU? Haven't you seen or read at least how these things are over the western border? For those who take interest in pig farming, seek information on the subject, participate in agriculture pig exhibitions abroad. This is not a new thing. I believe the fuss is being stoked by juicy, story-thirsty media, not by 90% of pig growers. According to him, EU consumer purchasing power is high, which is among the main reasons why animal welfare matters to the Western Europeans. We have to forget those Soviet times when pigs, before the very end, would be horrendously chased in their pens and enclosures, beaten, grasped, and held onto by the ears, tails, or snouts, dragged into a truck, and with no space for a needle to fall through, carried to pig slaughter premises. Those days are over, he said. Well, let me draw a comparison here. I could find you a dozen people who believe that holy water does miracles, but on the other hand, it won't be very hard to find another dozen mockers of the effect of holy water. So pretty much the same thing can be said of toys for pigs, Baravikas added. There are plenty of studies of animal behavior, pigs included, that show the benefits both for the critter and for its meat. I do not see a reason why I should doubt them. In fact, he says, the key emphasis in EU Pig Welfare Directive is not about toys, but is about facts. The directive envisions that all sows 4 weeks after siring and 1 week before farrow must be held in more spacious pens, not one sow little stalls. That is something that appropriately complied with will require extra investments, not toys about which pig farmers lament. But Avika said the exact number of Lithuanian pig farmers is unclear, but it seems there are some 5,000 pig farms in Lithuania. But when it comes to really big Lithuanian-sized swine farms containing 1,000 pigs or more, I'd put the peg at only about 50 farms, and they might be the hardest affected. But if we want to enjoy the bonuses of a common EU market, there's no other choice than to make sure that the pig in the pen can enjoy the standards of an EU pig's life. A stressless and decent one. So while the pig happiness thing still gets sneers, there's whispers out there about these creatures being surprisingly smart. Thanks to the EU directive, some Lithuanian farmers are learning that their grunters have surprisingly evident intellectual abilities. I've heard that for some pig farmers who used to think pigs are dumb, they are curious and they recognize those rattling toys. The critters seem to understand many things, Janulavičius admitted. To tell the truth, however, even the ones most amazed by the skills are more preoccupied with the pig's increased mobility. The pigs will stay leaner, which will produce a bigger loss for the pig amuser at the end of the day. This is Kęstutis Eivydas for Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. And remember, when it comes to the European Union, be careful because you just might get what you asked for. Bye-bye.